Greeting to each one in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be gathered together in the house of God, and I enjoyed those words of Jesus, how that we hear the teachings of Jesus, we know the heart of God, because Jesus came to do the Father's will. This morning I chosen to speak on a subject that not necessarily I feel like I have totally attained in. It's a subject that I'm sure that we all face, and even as God's people, in mingling with one another, relating to one another, we face this at times, and I trust that we can gain some truths and insights and strength to continue on this morning. I'd like to turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 18. And the title is The Forgiving Spirit of a Christian. The Forgiving Spirit of a Christian. I was doing a little bit of research. I looked back over my records, and I couldn't find that I had ever preached on forgiveness before. And I know not too long ago, Brother Ed shared on love and forgiveness. But other than that, I didn't do an extensive search. But I just, you know, as vital as forgiveness is in the life of the church and in the life of us as individuals, I think it's important that we understand it. And the things that we face with in interpersonal relationships, the forgiveness that we extend as God's people is very part of everyday life. I'd like to, just as a basis, I want to pull a lot of things out of this scripture here in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 21. I want to read that. Matthew 18 and verse 21. Peter asked a question here. It says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. This is a sobering account, teachings that Jesus gave here. And notice that Peter said, How often shall my brother sin against me? And this morning, I'd like for us to think about this in the context of the Christian family, the Christian church. We know that there are offenses in the world. We expect lawsuits and things like that from society, from out in the world. But in in the relationships surrounding those that are close to us, we also need a forgiving spirit as a Christian. The basis of the Christian relating to other people is his understanding that he has been forgiven an unpayable debt. The spirit, our spirit, comes through at times of how we expect to be treated and how we treat others. We probably have met individuals that have a critical spirit, which is the opposite of a forgiving spirit or a condemning spirit. And while we know that it's not always easy to forgive, there are hard things to work through. But it does take a conscious effort to continue in the spirit of forgiveness. It's important that we understand that forgiveness is a vital part of the Christian life. And this morning I want us to consider our own life and make sure we have forgiven those that have wronged or offended us. Jesus said here that offenses will come. Earlier in this book, in this chapter, he said that offenses will come. And how do I relate to those? How do I accept those and work through those things, those hurts that come to me? What is forgiveness? We can think of pardon. We can think of mercy. Forgiveness is a canceled note, a debt made void. It is a deliberate choice to take a debt and void it, so as not owing on the account. Forgiveness is open acceptance of the wrong that was done without requiring justice. We'll look more at what forgiveness is and what forgiveness is not. But Mark Twain once said that forgiveness is the fragrance the violent sheds on the heel that has crushed it. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. It is something we do for ourselves. Relationships don't thrive because the guilty are punished, but because the wounded are merciful. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest, and the first to forget is the happiest. Those are all quotes I came across as looking at this thought of forgiveness. It's really a benefit to the person that exercises this quality. There was a quote I came across just, I think, as brethren, as men and as women, we face life a little bit different sometimes. And it said this, it says, men forget but never forgive. Women forgive but never forget. That could be some truth in that. I think there maybe brings out our weaknesses. But I hope that is not our experience. I trust we can all forgive and come to the place of laying those things at the feet of Jesus and going on and not letting those things rob our peace with God. And making us a better person. I believe also it's harder sometimes to forgive small offenses than larger ones. And what I mean by that, it's harder to forgive a slanderous remark from somebody that's close to us than maybe a lawsuit from an ungodly neighbor. Those things have different implications that are harder to work through. Small offenses can eat on people sometimes when they haven't worked through the forgiveness process properly. I also believe that it's more difficult to forgive a fellow brother than a stranger. It's a lot more likely that if you are here this morning struggling with unforgiveness, that it is towards someone in the church or someone in the family of God than it is the ungodly society. Someone that is without. Because part of that is that the greater the trust we have towards each other, the greater the trust we exercise, the closer we are to a person, the greater the magnitude we hurt when we are offended. Those that are closest to us hurt us the most sometimes. Maybe we should say that those that are closest to us, we hurt the most sometimes. The story here of the servant who was forgiven 10,000 talents, it says that he went out and he would not forgive his fellow servant. He called him a fellow servant. And I think that was somebody that was close to him. Somebody he had a relationship with before. Somebody that he possibly trusted. And he helped out. And somebody he maybe had long conversations with and got close to. And he would not forgive him. Some more things forgiveness is or is not. Forgiveness is returning to God the right to take care of justice. And by not forgiving, in a sense, we're saying we're going to take this into our own hands and we're not trusting God to take care of matters. Unforgiveness leads to bitterness, and bitterness will take people places they never thought they would go. Bitterness took Cain to the place of killing his brother. There's many stories that could be told of a son or of a daughter not forgiving their parents of some injustice, and they feel justified and become bitter, and there are lots of casualties that have resulted in that. But the place that unforgiveness can take a person, resulting in bitterness and going beyond where you ever thought you would go in your life, feeling justified, hurting other people because you're bitter. Forgiveness is a process, not an event. It isn't something we decide one time and we are going to do and then we are done. But rather, we need to continually consecrate our hearts to have a spirit of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not optional. There is no room in Scripture for unforgiveness. There's not an option there. Forgiveness is not justifying a sin of another person. If someone told a lie about you, it's not saying that it's okay to tell the lie. Rather, it is erasing that account between you and them. It's acknowledging that you were hurt by it and that you forgive them for it. It's not making a sin right. It's releasing that, even though the other person has a choice to make and whether he makes his sin right or not. Forgiveness is a choice and an attitude. We must choose to forgive and maintain an attitude of forgiveness. People will still be people, and others will hurt us sometimes. As we go through life, we will run into bumps and into relationships that we will need to exercise forgiveness in our life, because we are all human and we have the nature to deal with, and it is an exercise that we need to have as an attitude. Forgiveness needs to be exercised whether the other person asked for it or not. We need to work through that in our heart and forgive. Maybe that person is unaware of the hurt that they have caused in my life. There are times when people offend. There are times to go to an individual, as Matthew 18 here earlier talks about, and clear up that account between two people. But there's also an attitude of going to a brother to let him know that he did wrong. That's not the attitude of forgiveness, but rather we go to clear things up between, not to point out the wrong in another individual. Forgiveness is a gift of the grace of God. The very basis for forgiveness is Jesus Christ's work on the cross. And I'd like to look at some of these we'll touch on again, but I've got seven New Testament principles here I want to look at. Some of them are in some other scriptures here, Matthew and in Titus and so on, but the first one is, the first New Testament principle I'd like to think of on forgiveness is that we are unworthy of God's forgiveness. I think I mentioned that some already, that we need to remember that the forgiveness that was granted to me as an individual, I was not worthy of that, of Jesus' love and his sacrifice on Calvary. Romans 5 and verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And Ephesians says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." And you could turn to Ephesians 2 there and read more of that chapter and get the heartthrob of the writer, how that it was only because of the grace of God. It's no merit or righteousness upon our part where we can claim forgiveness of sins. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And this foundational belief that we are unworthy of God's forgiveness is essential for us to understand the need of us forgiving other people at times, because only what we received we extend to others. Let's never forget it. I am the first servant in this account here in Matthew. I am the first servant. I am the one that was forgiven 10,000 talents. And I have the tendency to hold against my brother the 100 pence, the fraction. And there was some research I did that thought that maybe the 10,000 talents would equal $12 million and the 100 pence, $20. I don't know if that's right, but the fact is that it's a vast amount of difference of that they were forgiven. I was reminded again how quickly the servant forgot the debt he was forgiven. He says he went out and he so quickly forgot that he was forgiven all of that debt. And that just reminds us that we are the same way. We are no different. How quickly I forget the 10,000 talent debt that I have been forgiven. And there are many in eternity today delivered to the tormentor paying the 10,000 talents because they wouldn't forgive their brother 100 pence. Number two, another principle, is that God forgives us as we forgive others. If you turn to chapter 6 here in Matthew, verse 12 is part of the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus has taught his disciples how to pray. And he said this in verse 12 of Matthew 6. He said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." I'd like to ask you this morning, do you want God to forgive your sins the way you extend forgiveness to other people? It's a fair question, because that's what it says here. In verse 14, he explains it further, and he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." There is a law here that is very clear. God will not forgive us if we do not forgive others. And this law we get blurred sometimes, and we forget the principle of it because we feel so justified in the feelings that are deeply rooted in our lives. And maybe at times we don't even understand how deeply they are rooted in our life. But we have to be reminded of these things. There are people that have hurts and disappointments in their past that seem to fester for years and they're not willing to lay it down. These things can turn into bitterness. And according to this scripture, if they are not taken care of, they will jeopardize their own salvation before Almighty God. Number three, another principle, is that forgiveness is ongoing. Matthew 18 again, and verse 21 and verse 22. It isn't so much one time and then we are done with it. But Peter here asked this question, and I don't know what was behind. I don't know if Peter had a personal experience that he felt like it was high time this person quit doing to him what he was doing. I don't know what was behind that. But Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I think the principle here is that we don't count the times, but we give plenty of mercy and we give plenty of forgiveness. It is ongoing. Luke 17, verse 4 says, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We must reflect upon the forgiveness we have experienced from God. And how many of us have experienced repeated forgiveness from God from the same offense over and over? And there will be times when we need to forgive someone else in our life that repeats the offense. Or it could be the fact that the one-time offense keeps reoccurring in our mind and we need to forgive again. We need to choose to forgive again. The inner struggle that keeps coming back to us needs to be worked through more than once sometimes. But we need to always come to the place of forgiving the person, remembering that I also was forgiven. And there's also the possibility of working through the forgiveness and then later in life something coming up to remind us and that coming to us again. And then again we need to choose forgiveness. It's an ongoing choice. It's an attitude of a person, of the Christian. Number four, another principle, is unforgiveness reverses previous personal forgiveness. And I've alluded to this already. But here in Matthew 18, verse 32 through 35 is very clear. He called back this first servant and told him, he said, I forgave you all that debt because you desired me. And he said, because of that, should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant and forgave him the small debt? And it said, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. And then he says, that's how my heavenly Father will do unto you. That's the way God is going to do to us. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I see here a principle that if I cease at any time in my life to forgive the offenses of my brother, it brings back upon me the condemnation of my 10,000 talents. If we hold on to grudges and feelings toward our fellow men, we disannul our own salvation. You may feel totally justified in how you feel about a situation. And it may be true that it was very unjust. But if you are not willing to forgive, you cannot claim to be forgiven. The principle is very clear. Number five, another principle, is that unforgiveness is hindrance to prayer. And you see that in Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. Jesus speaking here. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We talked a little bit about, brother talked about asking in our devotions, about praying. Verse 25 says, And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness is a hindrance to prayer. It gives the thought here that if we are praying, if we are in communion with God, and these things come to us, or God brings something, a memory into our mind, and we don't forgive, then our prayer is going to be hindered by that. A person who has not forgiven others will experience a shallow prayer life. There's a roadblock that, unless dealt with, will block our communication with God. We need to pray for a forgiving spirit. Number six, another principle, is that we are to forgive as Christ forgave us. And there's two verses in the one is in Ephesians 4 and verse 32. And that probably we could say by memory. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Maybe could we all say it together? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Another one is in Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The bar that is set whereupon the Christian needs to forgive is the example of Jesus Christ and how he forgave us. To what extent, then, has Christ forgiven us? What extent has God forgiven you? I'd like to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103, and it will explain there how God has forgiven us. And remember that this is whereby the guide whereby we are to forgive our brother. Psalm 103 and verse 8 through verse 14 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." We'll stop reading there. But it talks about here that as far as the east is from the west, and we can travel east, and we can never reach the west. And it's that extent. Is that the way that I forgive others? Is that the way that I, the spirit, that I forgive my fellow men? Number seven, another principle. How I love is reflected in my concept of forgiveness. And if you turn again to the book of Luke, chapter 7, Luke chapter 7 and verse 40. Jesus had something to explain here. This woman came to Jesus and stood behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And the Pharisee that was with Jesus saw it, and he spake within himself and said that if this man, if he was a prophet, would know who this woman was, he wouldn't let her do this to him. And verse 40 of Luke 7, Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And then he went on and told her that her sins are forgiven. But there's a principle here, that those who understand the concept of sin understand we are forgiven much. And I'm not so sure that we can say we are forgiven little or much. I just believe we can say we have been forgiven much. If we understand sin and our sinful nature and the sins that will separate us from God, that we understand that we have been forgiven much, if we have asked Jesus to come into our heart and have asked his forgiveness. Those who are forgiven much will love much the one who has forgiven them. And that gives us the thought of where our love is. Do we love the truth? Do we love the words of Jesus? Do we love his people? And for his sake, are we willing to lay down our life as he gave us example? Because we understand that we have been forgiven much. My concept of forgiveness is in proportion to my understanding of how I have been forgiven. How I forgive others is in direct proportion with the concept of how I feel like I have been forgiven by God. And how I understand I have been forgiven is in proportion with how much I love. And how I love is how I relate to other people in extending forgiveness to them. Do I understand the riches of his grace because of his love for me, and then I share that with others? If we love much, it will reflect in our forgiving spirit as a Christian. I'd like to turn to the book of 1 John. First John chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Or we could say that we're living in the time when the forgiveness of Jesus Christ is shining through to us. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. Or we could say that he that says that he is forgiven but fails to forgive his brother is not forgiven. He's in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. These verses, we could talk a lot about these things, the darkness, but I'd like for us just to consider that if we are walking in the light, if we are walking in forgiveness, we will love our brethren. And we will clear accounts, and we will be willing to forgive the things that come to us. Even though it's not easy, even though it is hard sometimes, it is for eternity that we are doing this. Sometimes we sing that song, Building for Eternity. It says, we are building in sorrow or joy, a temple the world may not see, which time cannot mar nor destroy, we build for eternity. Every thought that we've ever had, its own little place has filled. Every deed we have done, good or bad, is a stone in the temple we build. Every word that so lightly falls, giving some heart joy or pain, will shine in our temple walls, or ever its beauty stain. We are building every day, a temple the world may not see, building, building every day, building for eternity. And I trust this morning that we can forgive, and we can have the attitude of forgiveness, even as Jesus had, that the master example that we have, that we can take his example as the Creator, and as he hung there on the cross, and as he forgave his very creation for the worst offense that could be done. Let's stand together for prayer.